Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. If you're an American student and you're studying in China, and you're studying the Chinese language, and you enter a contest where you're competing against other study abroad or exchange students to show your expertise in this particular language, and you achieve a certain measure of success, then you're going to take that and put that on a resume. That is exactly what Joseph Rembert, a Spanish major from Franklin, can do now after his study abroad experience at Northwest Normal University as a Confucius scholarship student. Earlier this year, Joseph competed in a Chinese language contest in the People's Republic of China and made it all the way to the nationals. We'll discuss this with Joseph and what his future looks like after we hear these words in English from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The MTSU Wind Ensemble is now the first and only university musical ensemble in Tennessee to record for the world's largest classical music label, Naxos. Angels in the Architecture, a CD by the MTSU Wind Ensemble, was recorded for the label's Wind Band Classics. An MTSU team was crowned champion of the Mid-South Mock Trial Invitational Tournament held recently on the MTSU campus. The annual tournament, which has been held at MTSU for 20 years, is among the largest and most prestigious in the nation. And finally, Gail Zlotke, MTSU Associate Professor in the Department of Aerospace, received the Tennessee Aviation Person of the Year Award. Zlotke conceived the idea for the university's new Air Traffic Control Lab, which opened last spring. About 30 MTSU faculty and students attended the Tennessee Aviation Hall of Fame Gala, where Zlotke was honored. For MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
Joseph Rembert, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Why did you become interested in Chinese language and Chinese culture?
I have to tell you, my first spark of interest in Chinese came originally from Chinese martial arts, kung fu, or wushu, as they call it. To learn really good kung fu, if you want to seek out a Chinese teacher, someone who only speaks Chinese and doesn't bother speaking in English, you might want to understand what he's saying. And also, lots of documents are written in really old Chinese, which are not easily translated, even with Google Translate.
Have all of your kung fu instructors all been Chinese as opposed to American?
No, actually, my teacher right now is American, and his teacher is American. But if we go to the teacher of my teacher's teacher, he would be from Taiwan, so he doesn't speak but a handful of English words.
Does understanding the Chinese language in depth help you become more adept holistically, body and soul, at kung fu?
You could maybe think of it that way. I think Chinese is a very poetic language, especially ancient Chinese. You know, the metaphors and expressions they use. I think sometimes they're really cute, really. They have a lot of meaning sometimes. But if you read ancient literature, or at least the literature from 100 years ago or so, it's really, really fascinating. It's really hard to understand unless you know, like, poetry and literature and characters and the significance of certain animals and expressions and things like that. So, yeah, I think learning a little bit of, or a handful of Chinese just helps you broaden your mentality on life in general, you know?
If you care about the Chinese language enough to have learned about it sufficiently to enter a contest, then why are you a Spanish major?
Well, they don't have a Chinese as a major at MTSU, unfortunately. I changed majors too many times. I should go into it. Spanish was a language I started about 10 years ago, learning 10 years ago. And I thought it would be the easiest for me to graduate. And it's not as difficult as learning a brand new language. Chinese, I think, is really fascinating. I love all forms of languages.
How old were you when you first realized that you really got into languages?
It was after high school, at least. My mother's from the Netherlands, and she was able to speak a little bit of French, a little bit of German here and there. And it was always a surprise to us because she never boasted about it. It would just be that in one moment of one day, she would be forced to use French just to get out of a pickle. And we'd all look at her like, Mom, you can speak French or German? Or so we'd watch a movie and a guy would speak German or something and she would translate for us. And it's like, how do you know, she's Dutch. That's why. Mm-hmm. There's such a small country and they have English to the north. And yeah. So I always had a little bit of envy that she could just speak languages. And she knew English. She knows English better than most Americans do. She always said, you know, if I had another decision to do in life, I would have become a linguist. You know, if she had her life to do over again, she would do linguistics. And I always thought linguistics is pretty fascinating. And I went abroad, and I think I was in Spain first. And, you know, I couldn't communicate with anybody because I didn't know Spanish back then. And later on, I went to South America, went to Argentina, and after a year of just listening, of absorbing it, it started to become, you know, a natural language for me. I started having dreams in Spanish and everything, and, you know, and it became really easy to understand and really not so hard to express. Mm-hmm. Expression is probably the hardest part. So after I did Spanish, I thought, well, I could learn Italian or German or Portuguese or French and everything, and I really thought Chinese, that would be like the big one, you know, that would be the one that I'd love to learn, but must be really, really hard. And also I was thinking it'd be really hard to go to China because of government differences. But lately, you know, China has opened its doors to the outside world, and I wanted to take advantage of going there as a scholarship student. You know, I'm now 30, over 30, mm-hmm. but in my 20s, I started really getting into Spanish and the Romance languages. And now, you know, I'm still studying Spanish and the Romance languages, but I like to do Chinese as a hobby for now.
Is Chinese more of a challenge?
Yeah, I would say so because of the characters. You know, it's just difficult to read and write, especially hard to write, because how do you remember all those lines? How do you remember them? You know, that's what I asked them. Most Chinese people even forget how to write certain words, certain characters. Since now they have computers and telephones to type everything, people don't need to write letters so much anymore. So if you don't practice, you forget. And so even Chinese teachers have a little bit of trouble sometimes writing, so it makes me feel better.
We'll pause for a brief break right now. When we come back, we'll talk about Joseph's competition in a Chinese language contest in China. This is MTSU on the record.
Tennessee's farm families contribute to our state's economy, nutrition, and culture. The Tennessee Century Farms program at MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation acknowledges farms that have been in the same family for at least 100 years. To date, the program has certified more than 1,000 farms. This is Kenita Hankins, director of the Tennessee Century Farms program.
And for all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're back with Joseph Rimbert, MTSU student and Chinese language aficionado here on MTSU on the record. How did you get the opportunity to go to Northwest Normal University in China?
Apparently MTSU and Northwest Normal are like sister schools. Mm. So
Partnership, yeah.
Last year they were offering scholarships. They say, you know, if you can write an essay, we'll get you a scholarship so you can go to China. And that scholarship just about covered everything for me, you know. I mean, I had to buy my plane ticket there, but once I got there, my school was prepared and my place to stay was prepared, and they gave me a subsidy every month. This was in Lanzhou.
Tell me how you got involved in the Chinese language competition.
Well, because I have this interest in martial arts and kung fu, I spent a lot of my free time, you know, practicing there and learning a little bit of language and things through that, you know, through kinetic learning, I would call it. And the competition was not only a language, knowledge of the Chinese language competition, it's also knowledge of Chinese culture and history and things like that. Well, one thing about, like, China is their big part of their culture revolves around kung fu, or revolves around warfare, I guess you would call it. You know, a lot of their poems, a lot of their stories, writers, all come from that, like, that's, I don't want to just say stuff, that, you know, particular part of history and culture is the
philosophy of Lao Tzu, which is frequently quoted by basketball coach Phil Jackson here in this country as motivation to get his players up.
Yeah, exactly that. So because me, this American, could do some moves, I do the praying mantis boxing. So, you know, I can imitate the insect praying mantis. And it looks really fascinating to see a Westerner doing, you know, martial arts with, you know, with a little bit of style. Also put, I guess, a little bit of style into it. And I'm not at a beginner level. I wouldn't want to call myself an expert or advanced or anything. But, you know, since I've been doing it a few years, I look a little better than some Chinese do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I heard. That's what they told me. So that kind of got me nudged in the door. And, you know, at first, because I was in a beginner level class, I was probably in the advanced beginner level, and then there was an intermediate level, and then there was the advanced level, or the, advanced level. And a lot of those students were the ones from my university that signed up for this competition. Me being a beginner, I didn't expect much, and there was there were teachers that were trying to influence a classmate of mine. She was Korean, and her Chinese was really, really good. Like, her pronunciation, probably better than most the advanced students, because her pronunciation was flawless and her reading was really good and everything. She was a little too shy, so I told her, hey, I'll get in the competition with you. We'll do it together, so you don't have to feel so shy, because I'm also a beginner like you.
Mm-hmm.
When we got into it, she, after the first week, dropped out because he didn't know what kind of performance he would have to do. There was three parts of the competition. One was a written test, which I could not pass. I could not even, I think I guessed majority of the questions. There was a introduction, which would be like your speech, you know, give about 1 minute, tell about yourself, try to convince them that you're interesting. And it was also like a test on your speaking, your pronunciation. And then there was your performance. Most people would do, you know, maybe calligraphy or do a dance or sing a song or, you know, maybe play an instrument. All something wrapped around Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was just do a little praying mantis boxing. And that was apparently very exciting for everyone, because they sent me to Beijing without really any, I mean, they made me go all the way to the sudden death round, but I still feel like they, from the beginning, planned that I should go to Beijing.
Describe the praying mantis position for people who are listening on the radio, since we can't show it to them.
Oh, well, you bend your wrists so that you have your hands in a hooking formation that kind of looks like the way a praying mantis will hold its hands and fingers. So your wrists are bent and then your elbows are bent, and you pull in a person. It's like a grab. You pull in their hand or their head, maybe even. And
do you not have a leg up also in
sometimes.
This position?
Sometimes. Actually, yeah, you have most of your weight on one leg, and then your other foot is kind of hovering off the ground maybe a little bit. Or you have a really low stance to where Your weight is evenly distributed, but you have your legs really wide apart, and you can do that little wavering motion, confusion. And also there's also a lot of jumps, so a lot of like hopping, like really high jumps and then landing really softly, because the mantis likes to jump or hop around, I guess. And
it's all about body control, right?
Yeah. It takes a lot of practice, I think.
Yeah. So because of your interest in kung fu and your ability to practice it, you were, this sort of gave you an entree into developing a relationship with the folks who could get you into the language contest.
Yeah. Not only the contest, there was a lot of TV, or not only TV, like universities, or people would ask me to do a performance for them in front of, you know, some people, a few hundred people, a few thousand people or something. Would get the TV station, they call, hey, we want you to do kung fu. And I even got a call from Shanghai. I'm in, you know, the other side of China, and they called me like, hey, can you come out here and do this kung fu? Because I put a video on YouTube, and it went on to, like, the Chinese YouTube. Mm-hmm. And lots of people saw, lots of views. And just one weekend, it had, I guess, like 20,000 views. And a lot of people were really impressed because, you know, look at this Westerner. Look at this American guy. Yeah, and I had weapons and everything. I was doing all kinds of stuff. It was kind of like a smattering of the best of. So it probably looked a lot worse if it hadn't been edited.
Sort of a combination routine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it must have been enormously flattering to you.
Oh, it was. Yeah, I really didn't want to come home because I felt so popular in China. You know, I made a lot of friends just by, you know, telling people, like, yeah, I practice martial art. And a lot of people would ask, what are you doing in China? And I would usually say I'm studying, but I like wushu a lot. I like kung fu. And they'd be like, oh, I'll introduce you to my teacher or something. And lots of people were very interested. You know, a lot of people wanted to interview me about that particular thing, about a Westerner being in China to study martial arts.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Chinese language contest itself and how it's structured and what it was like to compete in it. This is MTSU on the Record.
Specialized training in forensic science prepares tomorrow's professionals through the Forensic Institute for Research and Education, or FIRE. The Forensic Anthropology Search and Recovery Team assists law enforcement with skeletal remains at crime scenes. Legendary forensic scientists provide lectures free to the public, and high school students work realistic crime scenes each summer at our CSI MTSU camp. I'm Dr. Hugh Berryman, Director of FIRE.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
I am Jenna Logue, back on MTSU on the Record with Joseph Rembert, MTSU student, a Spanish major who is also proficient in the Chinese language, and was a former study abroad student at Northwest Normal University.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
also competed in a Chinese language contest that was hosted by Longzhou University, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me a little bit about the structure of this contest. At which level did you start out, and how many levels did you have to go up in order to make the nationals, and what it was like at each level of competition?
Well, it was voluntary for us to sign up for the competition, and the prize for our university was we would get to go for about 5 days or a week up to the Great Wall in the north of the province of Gansu, where Lanzhou was.
Nice
so,
prize.
Yeah, I thought, hey, at least we'll be able to get out of the city for a day and see some stars maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So they took us out of school, and in our dorms, there was a classroom in the dorm that they taught us, you know, like advanced level, like the kind of questions we would probably ask, and we would also practice our introductions, our speeches, and we would practice our performances that we were going to do in the competition. And there were about 20 of us from my university and maybe another 20 from the other two universities. So let's say about 50 or 60 from just Lanzhou. And in the first round, they set us down for a written test. And like I said, you know, I could not read that great. You know, my Chinese was only about 8 months in, so a lot of those characters I didn't know, and I guessed some of them. Right after the written test, you know, I probably turned it in and didn't do so well. I got an interview with one of the people that won the competition last year, and I told her, oh, that written test was too hard. There's no way anyone could know those answers. I bet even Chinese people wouldn't know those answers, you know. I was trying to just, I guess I was venting.
Was it vocabulary or reading comprehension, or you had to write an essay, or what exactly was that in the written
choice
test?
It was multiple choice, which might have benefited from me. I think it was just A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of questions about not only grammar, but culture and history, and also maybe even like a they call them chengyu, they call them expressions, what we would call metaphors, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have three words in a metaphor, what's the fourth word in the metaphor? And then you have A, B, or C.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, since I didn't know many, I had an interview that was, you know, filmed and everything with one of the winners of last year. She was the host for our small competition, for our regional competition. Okay. And she asked me, you know, what was going to be your performance? And I said, Kung Fu. And she was like, oh, why don't you give us a demonstration? So that kind of got me in the door, because I kind of played it off like I couldn't do it very well or something, and then I punched the wall and stuff and made the building shake, I guess. And yeah, people all had their eyebrows up, and they were like, hey, we should get this guy in, because not many other people can do that kind of stuff. You know, I think there was one other guy out of the 20 of us that did wushu, but he just kicked a pad and had, you know, heavy metal music playing to it. You know, it was a little bit like Bruce Lee's demonstration, Bruce Lee style demonstration. Mm-hmm. When I did ancient traditional kung fu, like at least a 400-year-old form, mm-hmm. to like really traditional sounding music, I think both of our performances were wonderful, but they liked mine a little better, I guess. But yeah, that got me into the second round. The second round was our introductions. And of course, I was sweating. I was pretty nervous and everything, but I didn't mess up. That was the best part. I didn't mess up. I spoke really slowly. I spoke and abbreviated everything. And my friends told me I paused in the right spaces. You know, I like made it effective sounding.
So in the second round, as opposed to written, you actually had to stand and deliver before an audience.
Yeah. There were a lot of my classmates, and then there were the other two schools. You know, they were almost like separated into teams, almost like, you know, everybody had the signs up and everything. It was almost like a basketball game. It was wild, yeah. And once I got through my 1 minute introduction, it was only 1 minute that I had to talk about, you know, me, how I grew to like Chinese, how I grew to like Kung Fu, and what I liked about China, and then, you know, about the relationship between United States and China. I kind of said something poetic. I said, China and America are like yin and yang. You know, we almost need each other. Our relationship, you know, is slowly becoming more important. Mm-hmm. And the name of the competition is actually called Chinese Bridge Big Competition. So,
what countries were your competitors from? Some of the other exchange students participating in it. What nations were they from? Just for a few examples.
In the regionals, there were some students from Mongolia. There were several Ukrainians. And there was a few Russians. There were some Koreans. Gosh, I was the only American in the whole bunch.
And you ended up winning at the regional level, right?
Yeah. It was myself, a girl from Indonesia. She was the only Indonesian girl. And a boy from Ukraine. They were both from Lanzhou University, but mm-hmm. from my neighborhood, from Northwest Normal University and also the Transportation University. No one else won but me, so it was a real big thing that, you know, somebody from beginner level Chinese got into the national competition. And
that's really amazing. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record.
The MTSU Educational Talent Search, or METS, reaches out to students in grades 6 through 12 in Coffee, Grundy, and Warren counties. We provide youngsters who have college potential with educational and financial aid counseling and guide them as they determine their educational and career goals. More than 95% of Educational Talent Search students graduate from high school, and more than 79% enroll in post-secondary education. This is METS Coordinator Debbie Frisbee.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Joseph Rembert about his regional win in a Chinese language competition in China. So after you won at the regional level, then you had to go to nationals, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And nationals were conducted where?
In Beijing.
Okay. Yeah. And about how many people were competing at the national level?
There was 100 even foreign exchange students, and probably from 20, 30 different universities throughout China. And there were, I guess, 50 different nations represented.
And how far did you get?
That's where I didn't do so well, because the first round was, again, multiple choice, but answering questions, you know, within 5 seconds, you know. So the question pops up in Chinese characters, and I couldn't even remember, you know. It's like, again, the expressions, you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of Chinese expressions that no one can memorize all of.
You mean it would pop up on a screen and then you'd have to answer it?
Yeah, and everyone would answer together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a lot of really smart fellows, a lot of really smart students. They also went down with me. They had 100 students and they eliminated 60 in that first round.
Wow.
So it was real tough. It was a real competitive competition. And I'm almost fortunate that I got eliminated soon because my nerves were very high and the competition just got harder and harder and harder.
Well, given the fact that the Chinese language courses at MTSU have not been in existence for all that long by comparison to other language courses in the Department of Foreign Languages and Literatures, and that they are taught at a relatively elementary level, it still must have astonished you that you got as far as you did in China.
Yeah, I have to be a little proud of myself that, you know, even though I was eliminated very soon in the national competition, I still made it there, and not many people would be able to get there. And, you know, I was going up against people that have been studying Chinese for 10 years or living in China 10 years. So it still felt good, and it was a great trip in Beijing. I mean, we had such a good time. We got to go see the Great Wall. We got to go see these Buddha caves in the north of the province. We got to do a little traveling. And plus, for me, it included like a free trip to Beijing, you know. The hotel was paid for, all the food was covered and everything.
How far along are you in your studies, and what do you want to do when you graduate?
Well, I hope that the Chinese language will gain more popularity throughout the United States. And I would love to teach Chinese. I often think that most Americans would rather have a Chinese person teach them Chinese than an American with their American accent. But Chinese people don't remember what it's like to learn Chinese and all the little things that need to be taught to them. So I always think I could teach Chinese pretty well because I can point out details that I had to learn the hard way. Also just tips and secrets, and I'd love to continue teaching or continue studying and also even teaching martial arts. I think because me, I'm a hyperactive kid, I think kinetic learning for me is a little better than sitting in a classroom sometimes when you're learning through movement, when you're learning but at the same time being spoken to in a different language by doing sports or any other thing. I'd like to encourage that in schools. Or universities.
How far are you from graduation?
I should graduate next year. Let's cross our fingers on that. You know, still not sure, but I think I should be able to graduate by May.
We should mention Dr. Da Jun,
mm-hmm.
who recommended you to apply for the Confucius Institute scholarship
in
China.
Yeah, most of the other study abroad programs, they cost like a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, yeah, if you can afford a ticket, then you're pretty much covered for six months to a year. It's a really good opportunity. It's just, you got to eat a lot of rice.
Joseph, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Best of luck to you in the future.
That's a pleasure.
Joseph Rembert, MTSU student. This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and thanks for joining us.
MTSU on the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.